Welcome back to the Guardian of Joy and Holly Radio Show. Thank you for being with us today. Downloading the program, listening live on the radio, wherever you are, thank you for doing such. If you've got a question, it's time for a question and answer. If you've got a question, you can certainly submit that by gardentalkradio@gmail.com. Send us an email at gardentalkradio@gmail.com. Or you can give us a call at 1-800-927-SHOW, toll-free coast-to-coast. It's 1-800-927-7469, Holly. All right, got a number of questions that come in. Let's see if we can get through to the top of the hour. This one is sponsored. The first question is sponsored by Fleet Farm and FleetFarm.com, Holly. Can you plant pumpkins and zucchini close to one another, or will they pollinate?
Well, Joey.
Yes?
Yes. No. So
yes or no? You got to pick a side here.
No.
You can plant them together.
You can plant them together. So it depends on the next generation of seeds.
Right. If you're saving the seeds, no.
So they're not going to cross pollinate this season.
Correct.
Right. But next season you could get a zoo pumpkin.
Yeah, right. And we've gotten a zoo spaghetti squash. We've gotten them crossed before. Now, it wasn't because we crossed them. They came from the manufacturer. This was not Jung Seeds. This was a prior company that we worked with. That the spaghetti squash had the tendencies of a pumpkin, zucchini, and a squash. It didn't have the spaghetti strings like it normally would. It was more of a pumpkin, but it had a cross between a zucchini and a pumpkin. And it wasn't very good at all. There wasn't much you could do with it. Composting was pretty much about the only thing that was viable option on that, as much as you may not want to. Well, Holly, we had an email come in at gardentalkradio@gmail.com from Logan. What did he wanted to ask?
He says, "Hi, Joey and Holly. My name is Logan, and my wife and I love listening to your radio show. We started gardening here in Minneapolis 5 years ago, and every year we learn something new. We appreciate the content and are always eager to learn more about enhancing our backyard garden. My question for today regards soil nutrition. We add fresh compost each year from the city's yard waste. We also started composting chicken manure from our backyard chicken's waste. It seems some plants do better with compost than others, not so much. What are some other ways we can keep our soil rich and help ensure other plants produce a higher yield? Are there other plants that we might want to grow versus in compost versus chicken manure? Maybe only topsoil? Thanks for your answers and happy gardening."
So they would be listening on AM 950 over there in the Twin Cities in Minneapolis. So thank you for listening, Logan. And here we go. We're going to unpack this thing. So the city compost may be part of the issue. We talked about that in segment two, where we're not certain what is being composted, so the result is not necessarily known, and the toxicity that could potentially be in that could be affecting plants in your garden.
Right. And so that you want to keep that in mind, that you don't, since you don't know the source of the city compost, that could be a problem. So then as far as that, you might want to use some purchased compost, make your own compost, make sure you have a true organic compost. And so then to kind of help the soil that you have now, you would want to mix your organic compost with the aged chicken compost, and you can just put it over the top of the soil beds as they are, and then just let the elements do its thing.
Right, working in the soil naturally through rain or watering. Now you can also go to mysoilsavvy.com and get a soil test kit. It not necessarily is going to tell you if there is toxicity in the soil, but it will give you an indication of what the pH level is. If your pH level is dramatically off, pH is a scale from 0 to 14, acidic to alkaline, or alkaline to acidic, acidic to alkaline, huh? 7 is neutral. Most plants can grow without any issue between about 6 to 7.5. If you're way off the scale one way or another, it is going to greatly change the way your plants grow. So by figuring out where you're at pH-wise level, they will also indicate, inform you of how to alter or get things where they back need to be. If you get your pH where you need to be, assuming it is out of whack, that's going to take care of a lot of the issues, because a plant is not going to grow very good if it's in very acidic soil or very alkaline soil if it's not nature's design to grow in those areas. Blueberries grow in a very acidic soil, like four. Alkaline soil plants. There's some plants that grow very good in the high numbers. You want about a 7 if you're growing your tomatoes, your peppers, your eggplants, that type of thing.
Wiggity whack. Yeah. So you want to make sure that you have an idea, because just like
you can't just look in the soil
right,
and go.
You can't look at the soil.
That's an 8.3.
Right, and there are those little soil tester deal probe thing.
Yeah.
And I don't know how accurate those are.
It will give you a range, but not specifically. I don't think it's 100% accurate. It may be about 60 or 70% accurate, but I think the pH may be off. I think maybe there might be some issues with the city compost. I think it's a
combination of things. And definitely good to get a comprehensive test.
Well, thank you, Logan, for writing in. If you want to write in just like Logan, you can do that at gardentalkradio@gmail.com. Send your questions over. If it needs to be added, a photograph to help identify what your problem is, that will be appreciated on our end, and we'll get you an answer. Go ahead. How is the best way – I'll ask this for you. How is the best way to find how much compost I need for my raised bed? Is there a formulation?
So there's not – I mean, there's a formulation, but you don't have to do the math if you're like me and I moved on from math.
Uh-huh.
You can go to –
because the internet's on computers now?
Yes. Yeah. You can go online and you can search for compost calculator, and then you just fill in the information and it'll tell you how much you need. So we do suggest you order half a yard more than you need, because you can always find a use for it, especially if you are right on the bubble and you could be like 7 yards versus 7.5 or something like that. Go big.
Right. And when we filled our raised beds, I think we ordered a yard more than what we needed, and we put it on tarps in the garden in places where we weren't growing because we were in raised beds, and we used that to top off the beds the next year and a half until we used it up. So it was well worth the investment. It didn't it didn't work itself into the soil because we had tarps that prevented that from happening. So it worked fairly well. All right. We had a load of pine. We have loads of pine straw and pine cones in our yard. Any reason I shouldn't use it as mulch?
No. So you can certainly use it. It will not make your soil acidic. For some reason, there's this idea that using the – because pine needles are technically –
it's not an ideal. It is a – people think it's gospel.
Yeah, like a – I don't want a wives tale or something.
Misinformation.
Misinformation that people think it's acidic because pine needles are acidic, but the – or pine trees are acidic. But you don't – that's not going to transfer – into your soil. You can certainly use it for mulch. It makes great mulch. And also, people say that it prevents slugs and right, snails.
So pine needles on the tree, yes, they are about a 3.5 on the acidic scale. We talked about that in the previous question ago. But as they fall to the ground, they take a long time to break down into a compostable form. And by the time they reach that compostable form, they have neutralized to about a 7 pH level. Now, if you're going to incorporate these into a compost pile, you would only want to use about 10% volume per pile, so you're not over – because it takes so long to break down. Now, pine cones, on the other hand, we have used and have seen other people use them in their containers around the plants to keep cats or squirrels or other items from walking or digging in the bed. They'll get, pine cones, when they open up, they're kind of prickly, and that can be a deterrent for rodents, in some rodents, cats and squirrels, in most instances. Sometimes they'll kick them out of the container, but that's an option as well. If that's not an option, just wing the pine cone at the squirrel or cat as it comes on your property.
I know, squirrels are pretty crafty. They probably would find that pine cone and toss it back at you when you're not expecting it.
All right. Do pepper plants come back in the spring if left out? I didn't cut them down in the winter, and it's still green inside. Will it produce peppers this year, or should I just remove it? Thanks. I'm in zone 5B.
Okay, so in 5B, they will not come back. Some gardeners do overwinter peppers. We did try that once. I don't remember what happened.
It didn't go well.
Didn't go well.
What we have understood is the hotter the pepper, for some reason, the more tendencies it is to overwinter. But essentially what you're doing in overwintering a pepper is you're digging it out of the ground, or if it's in a container, you're going to take it into a root cellar or basement, and you're basically going to try to trick it into a dormancy state by limiting the water. There's a whole multitude of steps in order to kind of make it, you know, like a tree. Loses its leaves, it looks like it's dead, but then in the spring it comes back. That is what we're trying to do with peppers. It doesn't work that well, at least what we've done and tried. We find it just easier to start the pepper from seed the next spring. Now, the purpose of overwintering a pepper plant or an eggplant is so you can don't have to have that plant wait to grow to a fruiting stage. It can just come out of dormancy. You can harden it off again, and it can start putting leaves on and produce peppers essentially relatively rapid, much more rapidly than waiting most of the summer in order to get your first bell pepper or hot pepper. So that's something you can look at in the more peppers are tropical plants. And tomatoes are too. So in the tropical areas, you know, like Hawaii, zone 11, zone 10, maybe 8, 9-ish, you maybe could get away with having these peppers potentially overwinter. I know that in some areas you can, you know, like wrap them or protect them. So you might be able to experiment in that. But farther north, not a chance, no matter what you do, unless you try to bring them in and do that whole thing. Or put them under a grow light and try to keep them alive that way. So it's a project in which you could do, but I don't, you know, it's,
there's no like quick and easy. I'm going to over
4 plus 4 is not always 8 here.
Right, exactly. For more information, please visit thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com.